You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Baseball. Gentlemen, we are 48 hours away from regular season Major League
Baseball.
Twins baseball. If they have any healthy players.
Yeah.
Very important. Man.
It's been a rough spring training. I'm not going to lie. Worst record. The run differential is like minus 47. No one's left.
Arms hanging by a thread, you know, just put Bucks in some sort of protective case. Yeah, on the flight
point.
To Kansas City.
Great point.
So I believe they play their final spring training game today, and then they make their way to Kansas City. They'll have a workout tomorrow. And this is part two of our Score North Twin Show season preview. And then we'll get back next Tuesday to the Trevor Plouffe Tuesdays. He's on spring break with his family.
Yes.
We're excited for Trevor.
I saw an Instagram story this morning. He was just on the beach, I think, playing catch with the baseball in his mitt with Stafford.
Just Matthew Stafford and Trevor Plouffe.
Just playing a little game of catch.
I bet Stafford can bring it.
Oh, yeah. He's got the shortstop sidearm. He's throwing small arm angles.
Did Stafford play some baseball back in the day?
I think him and was Kershaw. He teammates with Kershaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
High school classmates.
Yeah.
In Texas. Yeah, I bet Stafford played, yeah.
Yeah, but
I wonder, do they, we can ask Trevor, but like when they're on the beach, you know, just guys being guys with the family, guys being bros, you know, who wins out of like what they're going to play catch with? I mean, Trevor obviously won out with the baseball. Do they ever throw the pigskin around too?
I bet they do.
Oh, yeah, I bet they do. For sure.
But you know, I wonder if Stafford doesn't want to, because Trevor's retired. So I think it would be a little bit more refreshing to throw the old baseball around a little bit. I wonder if quarterbacks don't really want to throw a football, like not because they're going to get hurt, but just because it's like, that's what I do for a living. It's like, if I go to the beach, do I really want to talk sports?
Yeah, it feels risky though. If you're playing catch, you know, that baseball sneaks up on you, man. You're playing catch with a former major league infielder. He might zing one in there. Boom. Yeah. Hits
Matthew
you in the forehead.
Stafford's a professional athlete. You think of it. I think of that. Matthew Stafford's not like, oh boy, am I getting hit by the ball?
So we'll get Trevor back in the mix next Tuesday, and we'll ask him all these dumb questions here. The Twins are on the grid, so we're going to save some time for the Twins on the grid. But here's part two of our season preview questions. If you missed part one where we gave our Twins record predictions and whatnot, go check that out. And please click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched like 2.5 weeks ago. We're super pumped. You guys already have us up to almost 2,000 subscribers. So we're grateful for that. Here's my first question for you guys. These are all sort of like player specific. Who wins the proverbial Edward Julian Award for breakout young Twins player? And it could be someone who maybe has been up but hasn't quite clicked yet, or it could be someone that hasn't even played the majors. But at the end of the year, who is going to be the one that we said, wow, that young Twins player took a big leap?
Twins beat pod guy, you're up.
So, yeah, I'll go with a guy who's actually 28 years old, and the organization has put a ton of trust into him. We haven't seen a lot of him, but due to the injuries that have started this season, is Jorge Alcala the next big bullet in this bullpen? They have stuck with him when they could have easily just said, you know what, we're good here. We'll move on. Bullpen guys are expendable. We'll find you. We'll replace you. He's been injured for a good chunk of the last few years. He showed some flashes. He has struck out 107 batters and 105 innings at the major league level. I think Jorge Alcala enters that next big fireman territory here. And he's going to be, he went from probably as of 2 weeks ago, fringe guy to make the opening day roster to someone who's probably going to be pitching in a high leverage situation as soon as the next 72 hours. Right. So I think Jorge Alcala, I'm going to pin him as the next big bullet in this bullpen. They have trusted him. They've loved him. I think he's the next guy that takes home that Edward Julian Award.
I mean, so, he's been a name on the radar for a few years for sure, Judd. Like he's got
good stuff. If
he's a big dude.
Of course, I'm very concerned now. His arm is going to fall off, like within the next week, with the way things are going. But Dex and I talked about him, Phil, when you were off a couple of weeks ago from the Twin Show, and it makes perfect sense. Like he's got the stuff. He's got the background. So that's a really good one. I'm going to go with, and he's not here right now, but since I predicted he would be top three in American League Rookie of the Year, I'm sticking with Brooks Lee. I'm riding Brooks Lee. I think Brooks Lee is going to come up. I think he might scuffle at first because he ordinarily does, but I think this kid belongs. And again, that's why I think that they're going to have to find at bats. But yeah, I think he very much is on that track of, and in retrospect, we probably didn't address it enough a year ago, but for as bewildered as we might have been initially about the Arise trade, like Julian's emergence probably didn't shock them.
Yeah.
Like I think they made that trade based off of knowledge of Julian that we probably hadn't discussed enough. So I'm not going to be caught in that same trap. I'm going to say Brooks Lee gets on the scene, emerges, plays some second base, DHs at times. Heck, if Correa or Royce get hurt, he could play short possibly. He could certainly play third base possibly. Brooks Lee.
Yeah, Brooks Lee's, I mean, he would be, a bold take would be like second half Walker Jenkins. I'm not going to go there, but because he's 19 years old.
That would be a bold take.
And MLB.com's pipeline projects a 2026 arrival for him. But as a former top pick, a guy that has carved up to this point the minor leagues in the small sample size, I would just be really interested to see if he is this front office has not been afraid to move guys aggressively through the system. It's not like the old days where it was like you spend a full year here and then you spend a full year there. But
yes,
I'm going to give you one name that I'll go with and another name that I don't think qualifies. I'm going to get a ruling from you guys. I'm going to say Simeon Woods Richardson.
Okay.
We've written him off. He's 23 years old.
Austin Martin, maybe, yeah.
At one point, he was a top 50 or 60 prospect in all of baseball, according to Baseball America and MLB.com. A couple of years ago was the last time he popped up on one of those lists. And because he struggled in AAA last year and he's barely had a cup of coffee in the major leagues, we just kind of said, he's not what we thought he was going to be. But velocity looked like it was up a tick in spring training. He could wind up being a weapon out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. So I think for a guy that was once, you bring him into the organization and then Jose Barrios trade, right? And Austin Martin, I would be careful writing off a really talented 23-year-old Simeon Woods Richardson.
That's a good one.
The other name I want to throw at you, I don't think he qualifies because he's been a starter for 2 years in the rotation and he's 27 years old. But Joe Ryan, if you look at, we've kind of put Joe Ryan in a bin of like, yeah, he's like a mid rotation guy. And you know, he kind of struggled second half last year. So if you take his 15 starts before the injury that he covered up for like a month and a half, he had that train wreck start in Atlanta where he gave up 5 home runs in the first however many batters. Mm-hmm. And then he just became a home run pinball machine for the next month and a half until he said, yeah, I've been pitching hurt. Before the injury, Joe Ryan, from April 2nd until the end of June, basically, 15 starts, he had a 2.98 earned run average, a 2.77 FIP of fielding independent pitching, which is essentially like the things that you can control as a pitcher. Opponents were hitting 203 with a 548 OPS off of Joe Ryan, and he was striking out 10 batters per 9 innings with only 15 walks in 93 and 2/3. He was one of the best starting pitchers in the American League, and he came off a 9-inning complete game shutout the game before the Atlanta injury. So I think we're super quick to just be like, he's Joe Ryan. He just didn't have it in the second half of the season. Man, if he's healthy and pitches the way that he did in the first half as he enters his prime here, I could see Joe Ryan taking a big step.
He kind of even revamped some of his secondary pitches too. So he's adding a couple new bullets in the arsenal. I don't know if he'll be, I'm not saying the 15 starts he had last year were a fluke, but he's yet to really put together still the full big season, and his fastball's this deceptive, doesn't blow you away. It's not a 99 mile an hour fastball. It's a fastball with crazy movement. I just wonder if scouting reports are starting to pick up on that a little bit. I still think he's an effective starter. I think he's going to be imperative in this rotation. I don't know if he's sub 3 ERA and flirting with Cy Young candidacy kind of player, but he needs to be closer to the Joe Ryan we've saw since he's acquired than the last 2 months of Joe Ryan where he was the home run pinball machine.
Yeah.
I think there's a case to be made that Joe Ryan might be the most important player on this team as far as what he accomplishes or doesn't. Like, I think the whole Paddock conversation, yeah, you know what? It'd be great. It'd be great if he's good, but he's coming off a second TJ. There is clearly going to be an innings limit placed on him. Like, you can't just be like, well, he's a horse now. I think if by July, if Joe Ryan is not the clear cut number two starter on this team, I think you're in some trouble. I think it's imperative because he's got a background where he's been good at times. I think, Phil, part of the reason why the narrative on him changed is, yes, he pitched hurt and was terrible, but then, you know, in the playoffs, he was sort of an afterthought. He can't be now.
Yeah.
Sonny's gone, baby. So like, he cannot be, he needs to be, I think by the end of the season, by July, I think it probably needs to be Lopez, Ryan, Paddock, just because you're not going to be able to tap Paddock for like, hey, just keep going.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that Ryan becomes the number two starter than Paddock, so I agree with you. Okay, next question. What will the story of Byron Buxton's season be? So give me kind of a rough estimate of how many games, what will be sort of the headline or the sub-headline of Byron Buxton's 2024 season?
Byron Buxton plays in 100 games. He returns to center field. He's able to play center field here and there. And he can park some baseballs into the seats, and he hits 20 home runs. That's kind of my expectation for him. I don't believe he will ever be the difference maker that people make him out to be. And the projected lines of him, if he plays in 162 games, this is what he could look like. The inconsistencies, the injuries are just too much now. There is more evidence to suggest he will never be that player than the evidence to suggest he is going to be that player. So I think he can mostly stay healthy. I think he can play 100-plus games. I think he's going to hit some big home runs. Do I think he's the most important player in the Twins lineup? No. I would probably even put him probably fourth or fifth in terms of important players in that Twins lineup.
Well, one, I just fear he's going to get hurt at some point in time. Like, there's too much wrong here. And I am, you know, forgive me, I'm skeptical about this whole thing of they just took out a flap in the knee and now it's fine. Like, that knee was barking for how long? But if I may, what's that?
It was flapping. The knee wasn't barking. It was flapping.
It was going back and forth like a bar, like a barroom door thing. If I may, in a very Zolgadian fashion, though, take what Declan said yesterday for his Twins prediction and combine that with your question, Phil. I think if the Twins are going to achieve the success that Declan just talked about, which is a damn good team that makes a real run at a World Series berth, Byron Buxton is going to need to play 130 plus games. He's going to play center field a lot, and he's going to hit 25 to 30 bombs. And he's going to make, and he's going to become again the player who, when he is playing, when he's healthy, he is a nightmare. He is a nightmare because he not only has pop, but he changes games. He changes games on the base path. He 1000% changes games in the outfield. So I think if you're going to go down the path that Declan did, I did not, but let's just say these guys achieve what we think is possible. Byron Buxton is an MVP type candidate. He might not be one exactly, but he's far more towards that than a guy who just plays occasionally and you don't trust.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I think, I mean, call me a homer here, but I think he has a career season. The vibes out of spring training, the fact that he played in 12 spring training games, 37 plate appearances, played a back-to-back. Spring training numbers don't matter that much, but you'd rather be sitting there with a 294 average and a 559 slugging percentage and a low strikeout rate. Like, you'd rather see him do that than struggle and, you know, have physical problems throughout the entire month of March. So here's the crazy thing. In 2021 and 2022, he played 61 and 92 games. So let's combine those two seasons for a full season of 150 games or so, which I don't think he's going to play 150, but I think he plays 120, which would be a career high. Well, 140 was his career high. I think he plays the second most games of his career this season. But if you take his 2021 and 22 seasons, where he was still playing center field when he was out there, he was worth 8 wins above replacement in a full year, which would put him in the MVP conversation with like the Mike Trouts and other players. Yep. So, and that's like, again, that we're 2 years removed from him playing at an MVP level if he can stay out there for longer than the, you know, the 85 or 92 games he played in 2022. So if he's out there and if he can play 120, 125 games, we are talking about one of the three most important players on the team. Obviously, you can't rely on that, which is why they brought in Manny Margot, a professional, good, rock solid, if needed, starting center fielder.
Yep.
But I'm bullish on Byron Buxton based on what we saw in the spring.
What encourages me the most about everything that took place in spring is it finally sounds like all parties are on the same page and the kid gloves are off. Like, Rocco literally just kept saying he has to play.
Yeah.
But you know, you go back a year, right? And it's like, well, his knee hurts. We can't play him. We can't play him in center field, blah, blah, blah. Now it feels, because I would rather, if this blows up, and this is probably his last chance to be talked about in the terms that we just discussed, but if this blows up, I'd rather find out, because I would just basically said, let's floor the car and see how fast this car can go.
Agreed.
As opposed
He's 30,
to
30. Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to, well, he had some pain in April, so we're not going to play him for a week. It feels like now everyone's just said, screw it, let's find out.
Yep.
I prefer
and
that.
That's what they're going to do. Okay. Next question. Who wins the Emilio Pagan Award for Twins player that fans get fed up with?
I think Declan's already got his.
This is I mean, I know what you're trying to say, but, the funny thing is, and the Pagan Award is the frustration, because actually Emilio Pagan last year was actually pretty dang effective.
He was great. But we had already made up our minds as a fan base 2 years ago when he gave up a bajillion home runs.
Screwed us over several times.
He was also like oddly great when the bases are empty and awful when there were men on base, even last year. Yeah.
I have two candidates here. My first is actually Byron Buxton. So the fans...
I don't think fans are, like, mad at...
They aren't mad at him. They like him. But, all right, so if he comes to the plate and he hits 170, he's striking out in 50, 60% of at-bats, fans get sick of that.
Yeah.
And he, by the way, has kind of been that guy for half the time when he's not putting baseballs in the seats and he's electrifying fans. So he is a candidate for me in terms of the Pagan Award of... Because even I have soured on my tune of Byron Buxton. I just have my expectations are lowered. And if he exceeds them, great. And if he doesn't, this team had its most successful season with him on the bench coming off for a pinch hitting opportunity. So I'm okay with Byron Buxton if he never lives up to his potential. I'm okay with that. But the other one for me is Max Kepler.
Yeah, that was going to be mine too.
Kepler just seems like the kind of guy here who's nearing the end. His name has been floating around all winter. He also, like Buxton, has put up inconsistent stretches where he is just kind of unplayably bad at the plate. He provides good defense. I think genuinely the fan base, I wouldn't say he's like a fan favorite. Like, they don't go crazy for Max Kepler, but they've never really soured on Max. Twins fans, I think, like at Target. And I, by the way, when I say that, I mean like fans in-house at Target Field booing.
Yeah.
Booing someone.
Yeah.
Not Twitter trolls, not people on Twitter saying, you know, get Max Kepler out against lefties. I'm talking about fans in the stands. So I would say Buxton and Kepler to me are the two guys that I think fans eventually start getting a little sour of their act.
Yeah, I agree on Kepler, by the way. I think there was a stretch of like 2 months where he was unplayable offensively last year. Like one of the worst players in baseball. But then there was a stretch where he carried the team for a month and a half.
He's a very frustrating player. He's very, very frustrating because his personality leads you at times to think he does not care too.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's true or not, but that's his personality.
Yeah.
Candidate 1B for me is Kirilov because he ended so poorly. Fans were frustrated. Certainly that playoff loss, as we discussed against Houston yesterday. But you know what? I love this award because I think Pagan was perfectly positioned bullpen guys. Relievers are volatile. They can be great one year and regression hits the next. I'm going to go with Declan's guy, Griffin Jacks. You know, Griffin Jacks is now slated to be at the top of that pen right behind Duran. He's going to, I think he's going to close more than Brock Stewart with Duran out. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And you know, because the thing about relievers is if they struggle, the sample sizes can be really brutal. Like you don't get four at bats, you get your chance and you come in some really difficult positions. So I'm going to stick in the bullpen and I'm going to say Griffin Jacks.
Yeah. A reliever is always on an island by himself too. And if they make a mistake, it's in like a one run game in the eighth and
you're at fault.
And you're going to give up runs as a reliever. That's one thing that Griffin Jacks too. It's like sometimes it's in spectacular fashion when he gives up a home run. But at the end of the day, like he was over the course of 6 months was a really reliable reliever last year.
But that's what I'm saying is like, are we sure he's coming back as that guy? That's hard to say at times. Yeah. Closing is a little bit different, you know, than just coming in the seventh or eighth at times. I'm just saying there's a lot that can go wrong there. And I think the fans would jump on him for it.
Okay, last question. We'll get to a Twins immaculate grid. So give me either who is the player on the 26-man roster or close to the 20, let's say on the 40-man roster, I guess, on the just guys that are either on the active or close to it, like a Brooks Lee or somebody or a Larnick, that's most likely to be dealt in season and or a pitcher that the Twins could trade for in season. Give me some reckless trade speculation.
I love it.
So I think a guy like Julian is off limits. Matt Wallner is in that conversation for me that could be moved. Kirilov, if he starts putting things together to a degree, could be moved. You know, outside of like Walker Jenkins, Marco Raya, they don't really have like a sexy prospect I think that they would trade that they'd be willing to part with and be able to go trade for like a frontline starting pitcher. I don't see that yet. It's like hard to really quantify that. I will say, I'll kind of take a reckless speculation piece and say who should be added to this roster. If this starting rotation and the back end looks bad and Jordan Montgomery is still out here when the season starts, pick up the GD phone and go sign Jordan Montgomery. Don't trade any of your prospects.
How is he not signed like baseball?
It's
stupid.
Sounds
like he wants a multi-year contract, and so it sounds like he does not want the Boris special. And dude, that's why.
It is wild.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Oh, and also, if he's not signed by the opener, he will not call for a compensatory pick.
Yeah.
That's the new rule now. So if I sign him one day after my opener, I don't have to give up a compensatory
that,
pick.
Yeah. That's what.
That's a big one.
That happened to Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel in 2019, where those dudes signed.
But that was
after
a June
1st. Yep. That was,
that
an
was
after
a June,
June
date.
1st.
Now
thing.
I think it's immediate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if anyone, you want to go add someone and forget about your prospect pool, and I know they have the hindrance with their TB payroll, go sign Jordan Montgomery. If you're really worried about your starting rotation, there's a free agent out there. Go pay him and add him to your starting rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I would say, I'm just looking at their top prospects here. This is the first time in a few years where it's really felt like they've got a stash. They've got a, so the, there's a couple guys I think that are close to untouchable in Walker Jenkins and Brooks Lee, and that you're going to want those guys to be part of your nucleus for a few years. But hey, I'm open to any phone calls.
Right.
But then you've got like Emmanuel Rodriguez is only 21 years old. Gabriel Gonzalez, who you acquired from the Mariners via trade, is only 20 years old. David Festa is your number one pitching prospect. He's 24 now. Marco Raya, who Declan, I believe, mentioned. There's this list kind of goes down a little further in terms of depth. You've got four right-handed pitchers that round out the top 10 overall prospects. So I think this is the summer where they actually pull a meaningful, not like a Tyler Mahle, but where they actually pull a meaningful substantive trade. Well, ideally, Walker Jenkins and Brooks Lee are off limits. Ideally.
Yep.
But this is the first time I felt like if you take your top two prospects off the board, that you still have some major ammunition to offer another team.
Yeah.
For even if it's like a rent-a-pitcher for 3 months.
Well, and you're not in a position because of the reduction in payroll. It feels like you have positioned yourself to have to make that type of trade.
As opposed to,
well,
you haven't signed anyone. Is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
Exactly. If you had kept Gray or signed Montgomery, if you had made a move, you probably would be like, okay, we're positioned pretty well, mm-hmm. but you're not. And so, yeah, I think you're probably going to have to look, if you consider yourself to be a World Series contender at trading a top three prospect.
Yep. I mean, Emmanuel Rodriguez, I think you'd put on the table before you'd put Brooks Lee or Walker Jenkins, and Gabriel Gonzalez is a guy that he hasn't even played double A yet, I don't think.
Yep.
But there's some names out there. I mean, hell, there's even the guys who've kind of graduated from the top part of this list. Like Austin Martin is no longer in the top 10. But Austin Martin's a guy that you would definitely kick in a trade at some point.
My pitcher, Shane Bieber. If he stays healthy, he's a free agent, so he's in a walk year. So I wouldn't be committed.
And if you're the Guardians, you would be, if you're out of the race, you'd be more willing to trade in division because you're not, it's 100%. Not like you're trading him for 3 years with the Twins. He would go sign
100% rental. Right? Rental. But yeah. I'm saying, like, in going through the guys that are eligible for free agency after the season, if he's healthy, and that's a big question because he's had some issues, that to me is probably a target.
Yep. So, all right, there it is. There's your season preview part two here on the Score North Twin Show. Maya Mackey is very excited back here. Woofing.
Almost lunchtime, dude.
I got two dogs. I hear two collars. And Vinny's brother, Finn, his collar is much more, there's like more metal on it. So when that guy shakes in the middle of the morning, just the
jingle, jingle, jingle.
Stella's is off right now. I take that collar off.
Yeah.
I record because I can't take it.
Maya's has been off for a couple weeks too. She's just,
well, and they know what they're doing. Like, they know that they're trying to, like, piss you off and
get your attention.
You take action to go feed them. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm recording. Sports Dad's busy right now.
Maya has discovered the little, like, springy doorstop thing on the back of the door. It's like, bang.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, man.
Vinny kind of likes
it. I don't have one of those.
Fat boy, why don't you get me some lunch? Bang. So, hey, all right. It's time for an immaculate grid here. The Twins are on the grid today. And by the way, if you're looking ahead, you're looking at the snow outside today. Don't worry. because it looks like the forecast right now for April 4th, 3:10 p.m. against the Guardians opening day at Target Field is like 57, 58 degrees, sunny. First 10,000 fans through the gates will receive an opening weekend beanie presented by your local Northland Ford dealers, Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton, Pablo Lopez, Carlos Correa, all your favorite Twins players. Secure your spot at twins.com/tickets, twins.com/tickets. Okay, boys, it's the Immaculate Grid Challenge here. This is kind of a fun one. So we have a chance to go really low here.
Oh yeah.
With that third category on the right for the YouTube audience. So here's what we're looking for. There's nine squares. We're looking to fill them with a twin who was an Angel, a twin who was a Red, and a twin who pitched at least one game in his career, a Blue Jay who was an Angel, a Blue Jay who was a Red, and a Blue Jay who pitched at least one game, and then a Hall of Famer Angel, a Hall of Famer Red, and a Hall of Famer that pitched at least one game. And I think the best rarity score, if we get single-digit rarity score, that's kind of our jam.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
So there's some interesting possibilities here,
boys. This is juicy, boys. This is juicy.
Let's start with twins, Twins Angels? Twins Reds?
Rob Wilfong. The Twins and Angels made a bunch of trade back in Calvin Griffith's day.
Sounds good to me.
Rob Wilfong. No,
I was
going to
say
like J.C. Romero, but that's the name, like the Carew trade
and all that. The Twins took back a lot of like Bruno and all those guys, but Rob Wilfong, who was a platoon second baseman.
I like it. My other guess was going to be, or suggestion would be Kevin Jepsen, who I think we've even used before. Relievers are always good, but if Rob Wilfong, platoon second baseman from what, the late 70s, 80s?
70s.
Be under 1%. It's got to be, right?
Rob Wilfong. Wilfong.
There he is. Rob Wilfong.
What is this? 0.4.
There we go.
0.4. That's a stash right there, too, man.
Off and running. Oh, he had a great stash.
Wow. Okay, Twins Reds. Some possibilities here. I believe Todd Jones, former Twins reliever, was a closer for the Reds, for the Tigers.
Kyle Loesch. J.C. Romero. I think he was a Red.
J.C. Romero, Red?
I don't remember him being a Red.
That I don't recall.
I think he was. Afterwards.
I can tell you Jared Burton, one of my favorite random Twins relievers from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There we go.
I take a reliever. I'll always take a reliever.
I mean, relievers are always money here. Yeah. Burton's probably a good guess.
John Smiley?
That's too high.
Probably too high.
Right?
Okay.
I thought of that one, but I think it's too high. I mean, Jared Burton's going to be less than
Under one.
It will.
0.1.
It is 0.1. Yeah, Jared Burton. The second you said Jared Burton,
with the Twins.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's it for that.
So these categories here, they pitched one game. I mean, it's like, think of the most obscure relievers or position player. Like Drew Butera pitched in a game.
Yeah, Drew Butera.
Dan
Glenton.
Cuddy.
Kadire pitched in a game.
Gladdy.
Yeah.
Nelson Cruz. Didn't he pitch in a game?
Nelson Cruz?
Did he?
Maybe Jesus. I'm wrong on that.
No, I don't think they ever yanked him out. I mean, you...
Oh.
Be hilarious.
You know what? He will be too high because... Twins fans, but Williams Astudillo pitched like five games a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gladdy was the Astudillo of his day for pitching.
But here's the thing.
Drew Butera is good. We're
thinking of these position players, and that's great, like Butera, but could we literally just think of the most obscure relievers that nobody, because Butera might be guessed more than like Lester Oliveros,
I was
going to
say, give us, who was a random guy on the 2011 Twins.
Phil Dumatre or Lester Oliveros or, what was that guy from the Diamondbacks? Well, what about Alex Burnett, you know?
I got one from the 70s.
Oh.
John.
How about?
Yeah.
Bobby Keppel, the winner of game 163.
Bobby Keppel. I'm writing some of these down. Yeah, Joe, what was yours?
A guy by the name of John Verhoeven. Who was a pitcher? I mean, he actually pitched some, but no one's going to remember guys from the 70s.
I think, honestly, I think Judd's is going to be more obscure because he didn't win game 163. So.
John Verhoeven.
H.N.
Yeah,
Oh, I see him. Verhoeven.
Down there. Verhoeven?
Yep.
Verhoeven.
John Verhoeven.
0.03.
Look at him! Looking good, Johnny Verhoeven.
Okay, let's do the Hall of Fame ones.
Yeah.
So, Hall of Famers that pitched at least a game. This can be the most old school, obscure. And Judd, the other day you mentioned Dizzy Dean on the show.
Dizzy Dean.
Remember?
Yep, Dizzy Dean.
So like Dizzy Dean, Phil Niekro, Christy Mathewson. Just I'm thinking of like old ass pitchers from the early 1900s.
Any Twins pitcher? Any like old? We could use, by the way, like maybe Burt for the Angels, and that might even be still too high. But Burt could be an option for the Angels.
Yeah,
there.
Carew, Burt. Carew's gonna be high. I'm just like Jim Palmer, Robin Roberts. I think was a Hall of Famer. Warren Spahn. Who are the old school pitchers that people aren't gonna?
And I would say because this is all Hall of Fame pitchers, obviously, plus even position players, which I don't think we can really name here. I don't know, but the options are so plentiful that I think even a popular guy is going to have a lower rarity score, if that makes sense.
Lefty Grove.
Yeah.
Whitey Ford, I think, you know.
Yeah, just pick one of those.
I would say
Lefty
either
Grove is going to be rare.
I'm thinking like pre-World War II or around that time is going to be the best chance, right? And Judd, you mentioned Dizzy Dean. Mentioned this week.
Cardinals.
Phil Niekro is another one from like the let's post-World War II, obviously.
Right.
And Christy Mathewson is one from way back in the day. Should we go Christy Mathewson?
Sure.
Is it Christy T-Y?
Yep. And then M.
There he is.
Christy Mathewson. Below.
2%. Look at Christy. Look at that little brim.
I'm Christy Mathewson. I'm coming home for dinner, honey. I'm coming home for dinner. Can you get me a cigarette, a drink, and some food? I like to eat when I get home.
And on the old school front, I remember we did this guy with, I think it was the same square, Reds Hall of Fame, way back in the day.
I remember this.
One of my favorite Twitter accounts that I don't think exists anymore, but Old Hoss Radburn would be a Hall of Famer.
We 100% used him. Yes, let's do it.
And then we can use maybe Burp Lylevin for...
Look at old
1%. Old Hoss Radburn.
Old Hoss.
Also, didn't Winfield go to the Angels?
He did. Yep. Reggie Jackson, Dave Winfield.
Burt. I feel like Burt's...
Who else had a brief?
Carew, but that'd be high.
Yeah, no, but his stay wasn't brief there. I'm trying to think of... Winfield's stay was pretty brief.
Vladdy Guerrero was a long time. He'll be a popular one. Winfield...
Winfield or
Burt, but probably Winfield. Did Burt finish his career? Burt finished out his career with the Angels.
Yep, at the very end, I think the last year or so.
Winnie. 3%? Okay.
That's not bad. Boys.
Okay, for Angel, if we're talking old Twins, for Angel Blue Jay, those are the last, or was it, wait, was it Cardinals?
Vernon Wells.
Frank Viola. Frank Viola finished out his career with the Blue Jays and a red team. Was it the Reds?
No, I think it was the Red Sox.
He was with the Red Sox for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he was an Angel. I don't think he was an Angel. Now, Vernon Wells was a star in Toronto who signed a big free agent deal with the
Vernon
Angels
Wells.
And flamed out.
Vernon Wells is that might be a popular one, actually.
It might be
Troy Glaus.
Did John Roush go to the Angels? I think he was a Blue Jay, right?
I don't remember his exact zigzagging path. This would also be a LaTroy Hawkins bin that we could fill. LaTroy Hawkins is kind of a modern day, well, not modern day because what's his name? Edwin Jackson is not. They're both the same career path, but this would be a LaTroy Hawkins.
Okay.
Another guy from old Macadac's early 2000s fantasy teams would be Kelvin Escobar, pitched for both those teams, Blue Jays and Angels.
Good.
I'll use that.
Kelvin Escobar.
Kelvin or Kelvim?
It's K-E-L-V-I-M.
Yeah, he was good, actually.
Kelvin. He had like, didn't he have rec specs? He had goggles, I'm pretty sure.
2%.
2%.
Good stuff.
Scott Rowland will be the most popular bit for this one.
Sure.
How about obscure real quick? Obscure Blue Jay pitchers.
Francisco Liriano played there.
Yep. Sean Markham. Jason Fraser. I think of like 10 years ago. Josh Towers, Ted Lilly. Who's the closer? Billy Koch with the weird goatee.
Liriano's gonna be super low, right?
Yeah. Again, there's
probably
there's so many options that Francisco Liriano.
That's going to be low.
Point two.
Yeah, point two. Okay.
Good call. Okay. All right, Blue Jays, Reds. We're doing good here, guys.
A red Blue Jay.
Well, Edwin Encarnacion is going to be another really popular one.
Pat Borders play for the Reds?
Ooh.
I'm asking. I'm not. I said that with no confidence.
We've used him.
It's just a chat among friends.
Multiple times.
Coffee clutch. Right.
Pat Borders.
Right.
Pat Borders.
Did Bobby Kilty go to the Reds? I don't think so.
Bobby Kilty went to the A's. I know that. Right.
Koski didn't go to the Reds.
No. Smiley didn't go to the Blue Jays.
Pat so the surefire ones are Scott Rolen and Edwin Encarnacion. Okay, but we're sitting on a three,
we're too low to go.
Six.
Did Aaron Harang?
Seven, eight. We're below 10%.
Did Matt Latos go to the
Blue I think Jays? So.
Cat Latos?
Matt Latos.
Oh.
He's definitely Reds. I think you're right. Reds. I think he was Blue Jays.
Oh, Padres. You know who else? Randy Myers, right?
Yeah. Randy he was part of the wasn't he on the 1990 Nasty Boys and then he
went to Toronto at some point, right?
I believe you're right. Randy Myers.
Okay, I feel like that might be the leading candidate.
Why do I feel like you're right about Pat Borders?
That sounds right. We've used him before and he's kind of a low-key darling on the Immaculate Grid.
I would rather take so Randy Myers is going to be pretty popular among like the Reds fans.
Yeah.
I would rather take a shot on Pat Borders and get a single-digit rarity score and be wrong than settle. I'm okay. I am
so you're the Vikings
being wrong here.
Drafting a quarterback right now.
Yep.
You wanna just
I'm
go
comfortable.
For it.
Pat Borders.
We're doing this?
Come on,
we're
one
doing
time.
It?
Yeah, screw it.
Okay.
No.
Oh!
No!
Dang it, son of a bitch!
Damn it!
Did Matt Latos play?
Damn it.
Damn
okay.
It, I feel.
I'm going to look something up because I.
Well, now
I'm gonna,
it's over.
I'm going to.
Damn it.
I know. It's over now. I'm pretty sure Frank Viola pitched for another red team that wasn't the Red Sox at the end of his career in the 90s.
There's only 81 options. That's pretty small.
Son of a.
He did.
Frank Viola's last two teams, 95 and 96, were the Blue Jays and the Reds.
I don't remember that as a red at all.
Sal Butera would have worked.
Sal Butera was
Cliff
a red?
Cliff Pennington. Oh, that was a fantasy baseball guy I used to
remember. I remember
with.
Cliff Pennington. Yep.
Son of a.
Ramon Ortiz.
Good effort.
What?
Ramon
Ortiz, good great guy.
For which one? For
for
well,
the
he pitched for the Reds
the
and the Angels. God. Oh, and the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Tough loss. Tough loss.
I didn't know you pitched for the Blue
Jays. Pat Latos did work for it. He finished with Toronto.
I feel responsible.
So, all right. Well, we tried. We tried. Hopefully the Twins are on the grid again sometime soon.
Sorry, buddy.
But there's your part two season preview. And if you haven't already, click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. We're almost to 2,000 subscribers. Building an empire here. Score North Twin Show. See you guys probably Thursday.